Three items, why don't we read them together? We'll have to vote separately on them, but if we could read 370, 371, and 372 together in sequence, please.
370, authorize a competitive solicitation and contract with the lowest responsible bidder and provide payment for construction of the Columbia Boulevard Wastewater Treatment Plant Renewable Natural Gas Facility Project for an estimated cost of $9 million. 371, authorized high-pressure gas service rider agreement with Northwest Natural Gas Company for a renewable compressed natural gas fueling station at the Columbia Boulevard Wastewater Treatment Plant for an estimated cost of $1,941,830. And 372, authorized interconnection agreement with Northwest Natural Gas Company for transporting renewable natural gas produced at the Columbia Boulevard Wastewater Treatment Plant for an estimated cost of $1,050,000.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. And we have a very exciting announcement and presentation today, and I have some opening remarks. I would like to, though, invite forward Bureau of Environmental Services Director Mike Jordan, Supervising Engineer of this project, Paul Sudo, and Director of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, Susan Anderson. If the three of you would come forward as part of our first panel. Mayor and colleagues, in celebration of Earth Day, I'm very pleased to introduce an innovative venture to turn waste into clean energy while earning money for our ratepayers. When I explained this to my 13-year-old, he told me I should describe it this way. We're going to be turning poop into power. With Council's approval today, the Bureau of Environmental Services will begin construction on a new project to capture clean and convert 100% of the waste methane from the sewage treatment process into renewable natural gas. According to our friends at the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, this will be the city's single largest greenhouse gas reduction project to date. This project is a triple win for our city. Instead of burning excess methane, as we have always done, the city will capture this methane and convert it to clean fuel, dramatically reducing the carbon emissions from our sewage treatment plant. This clean fuel will be used to replace more than 1 million gallons of dirty diesel truck fuel that the city uses every year. And the excess fuel will be sold through our partnership with Northwest Natural. We're conservatively estimating that this will generate upwards of $3 million a year. This means we'll be able to pay back the entire project's cost in a few years and then have a dedicated source of funding for our ratepayers. With us this morning again is Mike Jordan, Paul Sudo, and Director Anderson. Welcome, and I'll turn it over to the three of you.
Thank you, Commissioner, Mr. Mayor, board members of the City Council. Good morning. Thanks for having us today. For the record, my name is Mike Jordan. I'm the Director of the Bureau of Environmental Services. We have a number of speakers today, and so my job is just to give you a little bit of brief context about the plant and what we do, and then Susan will have a few remarks, and Paul will take you through the details of the project and the ordinances that are before you. We treat approximately 28 billion gallons of sewage at the Columbia Boulevard Wastewater Treatment Plant each year. That's over 120 gallons per person per day that is treated at the plant, returned as clean water to the environment. But in the process of doing that, we also recover other resources. We currently treat the biosolids, and they are transported to Eastern Oregon as a soil amendment for agricultural purposes. And we also currently recover about 77% of the biogas, the methane, if you will, that comes from the process. We use that to generate electricity for use at the plant, also to generate heat for the bioprocess that we use. And we also sell another portion of it to a local manufacturer. But that still leaves about 23% of the methane that's produced by the process that basically gets flared and emits carbon dioxide to the atmosphere. Over the last few years, we've studied a number of alternatives how to effectively, from a triple bottom line perspective, utilize that excess methane. Of all the options we've looked at, the highest return on that investment in a triple bottom line sense by far is the use of this methane in the way that we're proposing today. it would allow us, from a ratepayer perspective, as Commissioner Fish has noted, to get a significant return to the ratepayers from an economic perspective, an environmental benefit for reduced carbon emissions, and then a social benefit, chiefly for reducing the harmful health effects of diesel emissions in our community. So this is really, as the commissioners noted, a triple bottom line kind of approach. You have three ordinances before you today. One, to build the facility itself at the treatment plant. Second, in a partnership with Northwest Natural, to put an on-site fueling station at the plant for compressed natural gas. And then lastly, a monitoring facility, which will allow us to be able to inject that gas directly into Northwest Natural's infrastructure for its distribution and sale of a renewable product. A couple last points before I turn this over and give up the microphone. One, our partner, I can't say enough about how essential the partnership with Northwest Natural is to make all of this happen. Without being able to access their infrastructure, we would not be able to receive the economic benefit. We would also not be able to realize the health benefit of distribution and displacement of diesel fuel in a broad sense to the community. Secondly, there has been discussion of this project for some time, both at council and at the staff level. And one of the real unknowns has been, is this market really real? Can we really get the return on this investment? Council should know that we recently went through an RFP process. We received 7 proposals from different quote-unquote off-takers of the fuel. We've awarded to one proposal, Clean Energy Fuels, who will buy our renewable natural gas product and sell it on the energy market via traceable credits. It's very important that that term be there, because those credits do 2 things for us. They allow us to get a premium price for the product, but they also allow us to assure through a contractual arrangement that our product displaces diesel fuel and goes into the transportation sector. So with that, in closing, a couple of thank yous. I want to thank Susan and BPS for their partnership. Without their assistance and advice over and research that they've done over the years, we wouldn't have gotten this far. Danny Grady on BPS staff is the person who's worked most closely with us. But I want to particularly thank Paul, Sudo, and Vu Han, who have been working on this project long before I got to the Bureau and have really done yeoman's work to get us to this point. And with that, I'll turn it over to Susan. Okay.
Good morning, Mayor. Good
morning.
Council members, Susan Anderson, Director of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. I'm really pleased to be here. This is a project that's been a long time coming. I think we talked about it when I worked for Commissioner Saltzman several years ago, and I think it's a great project in terms of pushing forward on the mayor's new 100% renewable energy goal. I've worked with Northwest Natural Gas for, more than 20 years now, off and on, and different projects. This is by far my favorite one. It showcases the company's commitment to sustainability. It showcases their commitment to the Portland community, and very much their commitment to understanding and moving some of their products to be renewable energy. BES has done a great job at looking at all of the different benefits of this project, not just this one, but also the electricity generation that they've done for years there. If they had to buy that power on the market, it would be about $1 million a year, so it's a huge savings. There are great economic, environmental, and social equity and public health benefits to this project. As the mayor mentioned, as Commissioner Fish mentioned, the project will generate about $3 million in annual revenue. It will pay for itself in 4 years and then produce significant savings for BES ratepayers for many years to come. From a social equity and public health kind of point of view, renewable natural gas will be used in vehicles to offset the use of diesel fuel. And as you know, diesel is particularly a problem for North Northeast Portland in terms of particulates. North Northeast Portland has the highest particulate matter counts in the state. And as the renewable natural gas market grows, those that are living along our major transportation corridors will definitely see these benefits. Finally, from an environmental point of view, it's not just about our local air quality. As Mike mentioned, it's about reducing carbon emissions significantly. As we look for ways to get to our 100% renewable energy goal, reducing the total city government carbon footprint is essential. We need to walk our talk. We can't be out there trying to work with companies and residents and everyone else. This project alone will reduce our carbon footprint by one-third, so significant. We absolutely need innovation in the transportation arena. We are moving fast and furious in the electricity generation area, but on the gas side and in transportation, we need a lot of work, and this is a great project that showcases that. We're going to need solutions in every shape, way, and form. There's no silver bullet on this to get to 100% renewable energy worldwide and or right here in Portland. We're going to need wind and solar and geothermal and biofuels, and this is a piece of the project and really a part of the package. So I'm thrilled to be a partner with Mike. I'm really glad he took this, push it, and Paul and the other staff have been working on this, Vu and Danny on my staff. And there's a gentleman some of you know, Dave Tews, who worked on this and these projects for years. He's retired now, but I'm sure he's hopefully watching at home and thrilled that this is finally coming together. So thank you.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler. Good morning, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners.
Good morning.
For the record, I'm Paul Sudo, supervising engineer with BES. So I'll walk you through the project. Just a quick overview on the presentation today. I'll just talk about basically what biogas and renewable natural gas or RNG are, just to get folks oriented on the terminology. Give a couple of highlights of biogas use at the Columbia Boulevard treatment plant. And then get into the key project elements today that we're presenting as ordinances for you to consider for approval. And then I'll give a quick recap, hopefully, of the financials, project schedule, and also the benefits that have already been stated on the project. So what is biogas and what is renewable natural gas? Basically, they're related as part of the treatment process at the plant. Biogas consists essentially of about 60% methane gas. It's produced continuously as we treat the solids in wastewater at the treatment plant in a very slow biological process, hence the term bio with biogas, or some folks also use biomethane. This is done in the absence of air, so it's what's called an anaerobic process. So there's these little bugs or bacteria in the process that convert these solids to methane, carbon dioxide, and some other trace compounds. So after the biogas is produced, it then needs to be converted to renewable natural gas, or RNG. So that's basically chemically identical to natural gas. And this is done by removing that carbon dioxide that I mentioned and then eliminating or reducing some of these trace compounds. All right. So history of biogas use at Columbia Boulevard. Just two quick highlights. So even back when the plant was originally built in 1952, we'd already been using the waste biogas to heat the digesters for the process and also the administration building at the time. And in recent history, we added the cogeneration facility, which was able to produce heat for the plant and electricity, and it powers about 40% of the power's electrical needs. However, we still had about 23% or so of the gas remaining that still was flared, so we wanted to find a solution for that. So here we are with the project goals. Basically, our ultimate goal was to reduce the amount of gas that was being flared or eliminate it and achieve 100% methane recovery at the Columbia Boulevard plant. And then, as mentioned before, we didn't just want to recover the methane. We wanted to get the best value for the ratepayer in terms of the triple bottom line analysis, economic, social, and environmental. So it was a key part of the project. As Susan mentioned, we wanted to align with the Climate Action Plan as well. And as Mike had stated earlier, we found that converting the biogas to renewable natural gas had the best upside or benefits for us in terms of cleaner air, greenhouse gas reductions, and revenue. So this kind of cartoon and aerial of the plant is basically showing the concept of the facility that we plan on building here. So what's shown in yellow is essentially the existing digesters. So these are large tanks. These are, they each hold over about 2 million gallons of the waste material. But what we need to add is this methane processing facility that's shown in green to produce that renewable natural gas. And then we can actually connect to Northwest Natural's distribution system as well as build a fueling facility on site for the project. And then once it's in the distribution system, it opens up a vast network of opportunities for us in terms of where to sell the renewable natural gas as a vehicle fuel. This is just kind of a general map that shows you there's actually a lot of activity in the country, but we do need some more activity here in the Northwest with respect to CNG fueling. So this next slide shows the plant overview with the facilities that we're presenting here before you. We've got what's called the future production facility on here for renewable natural gas, and then we've got basically a piping system that connects to what's labeled as the custody transfer, which is the Northwest Natural Receipt Facility. So that's essentially the gatekeeping part of it, where we want to make sure Northwest Natural also wants to make sure that the gas product that we produce meets their standards. So then once it's in, passes through that facility, meets the standards, it goes into what's shown as an additional pipe in pink there that we'll need to add. And then ultimately we're going to connect to the existing Northwest Natural main that's shown in yellow there at the top of the screen. And then I also want to point out the fueling station location is planned to be located near the existing fueling station that we have at the plant that uses gasoline and diesel. So here are just some photos to show what these facilities will likely look like. This is a picture of the equipment that we're expecting to install at the plant. Basically, it's a large container for one part of it that you see there, that kind of lower half of the screen, and that houses most of the equipment, motors, electrical equipment, pumps, and so forth. And then there are two towers associated with the renewable natural gas treatment facility, and that is, one is to actually remove the CO2 and other trace compounds from the methane, the biogas. And then we've got another tower that helps regenerate that water. So inherently that process is actually pretty green itself, that it is able to regenerate the water used in the gas cleaning process. And then the next component is the on-site renewable CNG fueling station. That's item 371 on the council agenda today. And this is just a kind of a simplified rendering, essentially. So it's got some key components here just to highlight. One is that large box kind of in the upper right corner. That's the compressor. So we have to get it to a high enough pressure so it can actually be dispensed into vehicles. And then on the right there are three cylinders that are horizontal, and that's where the gas is stored. And then there's those fuel dispensing stations. So our goal here with this facility is to enter what's called a Schedule H agreement with Northwest Natural, where they design, build, and maintain the facility, and we'll reimburse the cost for that facility over time to Northwest Natural. And we do plan on using an Oregon Department of Energy Alternative Vehicle Fuel Infrastructure Tax Credit for this part of the project. And the last key part is the Northwest Natural Monitoring Facility. It's also referred to as the Interconnection or Receiving Facility. That's item 372 on the agenda today. And this, as I showed in the map earlier, it's going to be located on the plant site, and it'll be on BES property on the plant site, and it'll be designed, built, and operated and maintained by Northwest Natural, and we'll be paying the cost for that to them. All right, now the financials part of this. So just a little recap on a previous approved council item a few years ago for the design of the project. We were approved $1.29 million. And then the ordinances before you today, item 370 is for the renewable natural gas treatment facility. That's estimated to be about $9 million. And then we have the Northwest Natural Interconnection Facility, item 372, estimated to be $1.05 million. and the renewable CNG fueling station, item 371, that's estimated to be $1.94 million. So total project costs are estimated to be about $15.5 million. And then just to highlight here, the revenue, as Mike said earlier, we found a off-taker or buyer for it. And we expect a range from $3 to $10 million. So we're just showing the range here, but we're planning on the more conservative side of $3 million. The market today would be $10 million. If we had built this facility already, it would be that substantial. So we'll see where the market heads with that. And this is tied to both federal incentives and also state incentives in the state of California and now the state of Oregon. So we're very fortunate to have Oregon also have a clean fuels program where there are credits available on the environmental attribute market.
Could I ask, what are the most significant variables or the most significant risk factors to these financials?
It is essentially that renewable identification number, the RIN market at the federal level. It's a federally supported program, but what we've seen over time is the volume targets, meaning the amount of renewable credits that need to be purchased, those typically have increased. That's what's driven the market. So, but that would be the risk if there's a change in that. That's why we're falling on the more conservative, so say the $3 million.
So even in the absence of those credits, it's still viable at the $3 million level? That's the projection.
Let's say if the federal program disappeared theoretically, and assuming the state of Oregon and the state of California programs were still in play, then we'd be around that $3 million target.
What's the time frame? If that's later, forget it.
Yeah, I got one more slide.
Okay, never mind
on
that.
So let's see. So schedule. Just the thing that jumps out here is the fueling station. That's tied to an ODOT, Oregon Department of Energy tax credit. We want to be able to compete for that or get reimbursed for that. We're trying to push pretty quickly on that to have that in the ground by the end of this calendar year. And then building the facility and also the interconnection facility, our goal is to get that completed, have it all aligned, and be done by the end of next calendar year, December of 2018. So. Which is why we're here presenting this as an emergency so we can maximize the revenue return for the ratepayers. And then lastly, just to kind of bring home the benefits of the project, the triple bottom line, of course, that's been mentioned already, the greenhouse gas benefits of about 21,000 tons of CO2 per year eliminated, estimating on a conservative side about $3 million in annual revenue. And then to put that into another context, from an environmental standpoint, basically replacing enough diesel fuel to power about 154 garbage trucks per year. So that's the end of the presentation. Be happy to answer any questions.
Commissioner Fish?
Mayor, we have one more panel after this panel.
Very good. Any questions for this panel?
I just have a technical question. It's going back to high school chemistry, and that is the byproduct of this is carbon dioxide. Have we looked at how are we going to fix that? To fix, I think it's H2O plus the carbon dioxide, and you have chlorophyll, and it gets fixed and can be used for that. So would there be a capturing of that byproduct? Not yet?
I think some folks are theorizing about it, but we haven't seen anything practical on that side yet.
The main issue is that methane is a much more powerful greenhouse gas, and so anything you can do to get methane into CO2 is a huge benefit. And all the other projects we do around carbon sequestration and other things try to get at the
that
other carbon.
That might be for
issues.
A future council to keep going, because it's really terrific work.
We'll work on that.
Thank you.
So do we have compressed natural gas vehicles in our fleet?
We are working on that. At BES, we have some in the budget coming up this year, and we're trying to line up this fueling station. So we can operate this fueling station at the end of the year on natural gas to start using the vehicles we plan to have on site in the coming year. So the plan is to start phasing those in.
And will this fueling station be open to public?
No, it will not. It will just be available for city vehicles and city contracted vehicles at the Columbia Boulevard site.
Okay.
Can this be used for, I thought I heard you say it, but I'm not positive. This can be a replacement for the diesel vehicles, so the heavy industrial vehicles, is that correct?
That's correct.
Good news. Good. Glad to hear it.
Thank you very much. Mayor, let me introduce the next panel.
Please.
We're honored to be joined today by the President and CEO of Northwest Natural, Mr. David Anderson, from the Citizens Utility Board of Oregon, Janice Thompson, and from Oregon Environmental Council, their climate director, Jana Gasolom. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Who wants to go first? Mr. Anderson?
Yeah, be happy to. Mayor Wheeler, Commissioner Fish, and members of the council, thank you for having us here. Exciting day to be here with the state champs, too, so I didn't know that was going to be the case, but I'm here to provide testimony about this groundbreaking project. My name is David Anderson. I'm the president and CEO of Northwest Natural, and we've been proud to serve the city of Portland and the surrounding region for almost 160 years. Actually, we've been serving customers here longer than the state has been a state. Most people don't realize that. So because this is our hometown and we pay close attention to the needs and priorities of our customers and communities we serve, we take pride in our Northwest roots and the environmental stewardship that drives us to tackle complex problems and hopefully to lead the way for others to follow. And this renewable natural gas project is a perfect example of this pioneering spirit. Through this project, we're able to take an environmental challenge, which you just heard, which was wastewater that produces greenhouse gas emissions, and turns it into renewable energy that can be delivered through our existing pipeline system. And that's a system that is one of the newest and tightest pipeline systems in the country. We've been collaborating with the city's team for a long time to make this project a reality. And once the direction was set, Northwest Natural worked through a number of technical and regulatory issues, including the engineering challenge to design a quality specification for the renewable natural gas that will flow into our system and, of course, into the trucks, as you just heard about. And with your approval today, we will move forward to build and maintain the infrastructure needed to serve the facility. Needless to say, we're incredibly excited that our collective efforts would culminate in the largest climate action project Portland has ever done. It's through partnerships like these that our pipeline system can be used in new ways. We can help communities close the loop on waste, substantially reduce emissions, and improve air quality. That's a value proposition, frankly, that's hard to beat. And it's why we believe this will be the first of many other renewable natural gas projects to come. We, and I personally, would like to thank the Bureau of Environmental Services and the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability for their leadership on this effort. We look forward to partnering with the City of Portland on other innovative projects that drive us to a low-carbon future in ways that are equitable of all of our communities that we serve. With your vote today, Portland takes an important step forward toward that future. And thank you from the company, and a personal thank you from me.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Janice Thompson, Citizens Utility Board. Thank you. Janice Thompson, Oregon Citizens Utility Board, or CUB. CUB fully supports Portland's triple bottom line approach and want to concur with earlier comments about focus on transportation sector projects in terms of addressing greenhouse gases. We've been pleased to support at the state level the low carbon fuel standards and are doing quite a bit of work in that whole transportation arena at the state level. Regarding this project, our analytical emphasis, though, was on the economics and ensuring good value to Portland sewer and wastewater customers. We were always very intrigued by the revenue generation potential of this biogas project, but, you know, in order to make money, you have to spend money, and so our concern was ensuring an acceptable payback at an acceptable level of risk. Along the way, CUB asked lots of questions. I appreciate all the responses from BES. For example, related, you know, Mayor Wheeler, you mentioned several of the risks. Those are exactly the types of questions, or good examples of the questions I was asking in terms of, like, do the risks are acceptable. Another point about risk is that this is technology that's not unusual or untried. But the market, you know, is this environmental incentive-driven market, which, you know, requires careful analysis. And so it was really great, as Paul mentioned, or Mike and Paul, I think, mentioned, when the response to the offtake RFP really confirmed kind of everybody's best hunches along the way that this
the economics were really going to pan out quite well. So the attention to detail and careful analysis of costs and benefits by BES along the way is commendable. The effort has taken persistence because it's been a complicated project development that, in a good way, has taken time to get all the pieces lined up. So the various progress project elements, however, are aligning with good analysis of the risks and a quite acceptable payback period, and CUB does urge your support for the ordinances before you this morning.
Thank you. We appreciate your hard work on this.
Hi. Mayor and City Commissioners, my name is Jana Gastelum. I'm the Climate Program Director at the Oregon Environmental Council, and I'm pleased to be here in support of the Bureau of Environmental Services proposal to capture and convert waste biomethane into renewable clean transportation fuel. The largest share of our climate pollution comes from transportation emissions at both the city and state levels. And local actions to address climate change are becoming more important than ever for three reasons. One, global CO2 levels continue to skyrocket, surpassing levels not seen for millions of years. Two, climate impacts are increasingly being felt here in Oregon in the forms of melting snowpack, warming rivers, dying fish, and more extreme heat that harms people. And three, the government is rolling back climate and clean air protections at the federal government at a startling rate. And as Earth Day approaches, I think Americans are sorely in need of leadership. With Portland's action today, the city of Portland steps up as a climate and clean air leader. Thank you for that. Portland has an opportunity with this project to make significant climate pollution reductions. Over the past 7.5 years, I've been working on that statewide clean fuels program. It requires really rigorous greenhouse gas accounting of the full life cycle impacts of transportation fuels. And we know from this accounting that biomethane from wastewater treatment plants, like the project proposed today, when compared to diesel fuel, can result in a 70 to 90% carbon intensity reduction. That's an astonishing reduction and is excellent for the climate. So utilizing those waste streams, particularly as a transportation fuel, is a huge benefit for the climate. Of equal importance are the air quality benefits this project can provide for our area. Diesel is one of the worst culprits in polluting our local air quality. Diesel soot, or that particulate matter, is exceptionally harmful to human health. Those toxic substances in exhaust are able to hitch a ride on those particulates and enter the body. They go into our bloodstreams, they circulate through our entire bodies. And diesel exhaust is linked to strokes, heart attacks, asthma, and other diseases. And its impact on local air quality is personal to me. I have two kids who attend a preschool not far from I-84. They're outside playing, jumping, running, being creative. But I think about their developing hearts and lungs, and I know that kids all over the city, from an equity standpoint, are also playing and living and breathing near busy roadways. So we need solutions to harmful diesel pollution, and converting vehicles to run on cleaner fuels like renewable natural gas or electricity is essential. And unfortunately, the state legislature earlier this week gutted a bill to clean up dirty diesel. So again, your local level leadership matters a great deal. And finally, not only is relying on petroleum problematic for the climate and air, but it's also not so great for our pocketbooks. Every drop of gasoline and diesel that we consume is imported into the state, which means that we export our energy dollars. This project keeps more dollars circulating locally in Portland. And it's not every day that you have a proposal that significantly addresses Portland's climate pollution, reduces toxic air pollution, and enhances local economic activity. So every step we make at the local level to address climate change and rein in diesel pollution matters for health now and our future. I thank you and encourage the support of this project.
Thank you. Any questions for this panel? Thank you. We appreciate your presentation. Thank you, Commissioner Fish. Is there any public testimony on this item?
Yes, I have four people signed up. The first three, please come on up, are Lightning Super Watchdog, Nancy Newell, and Matthew Denton.
Very good. Thank you.
Yes. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Watchdog. As you know, I have done communications in the past on diesel particulates. My main concern was having a daycare center just outside in the Portland building where the buses came by every few minutes, and it was going up in the air, floating into that daycare center playground. I have a real problem with action not being taken by Mayor Hales when I brought that to his attention. Now, I understand the daycare center is no longer there, so this project here, like I say, is a very amazing project pertaining to the climate change and the issues we're dealing with the diesel situation. Again, I haven't heard any costs on the retrofitting of the vehicles. I'd like to have a little more data on that, overall cost, how that will be paid. Are there tax credits, incentives to go in that direction? Again, if we decide not to retrofit the vehicles, will Northwest Natural Gas still be able to market the renewable natural gas in an efficient manner to where we'll still meet our projected gross income? Again, I'm amazed on the overall cost of this project, also looking at the cost recovery. And I know Commissioner Saltzman is looking at the numbers here and going, this is impressive. And the reality is that why this project hasn't taken place sooner, but again, I understand Northwest Natural Gas may have had a lot of the control position on this. Again, my position also pertaining, if we decide not to use this on city vehicles, is Northwest Natural Gas in the city also looking at possibly doing airplane fuel? Again, that's the highest dollar paid out. I don't know if you can go in that direction from this. I don't know if an analysis has been done. And if Northwest Natural Gas, being close to the airport, has looked at that situation, because these numbers here are so impressive. I mean, if you're talking $3 million up to what I heard market of $10 million per year on an annual basis, paying your project off in 2 years and then just what I consider pure profit is absolutely amazing. So it's an amazing project. I'll be candid with you. It's a win for the city and a win for the environment. And again, my main focus, it's a win for the young children in this city that have to breathe in this diesel particulates, and it will affect them in their future years. And that's why I've made a stand on that, to shut down any diesel vehicles in at least the central city location in the urban area for the children. Thank you.
Lightning,
thank you,
can sir. I just say that, as usual, you've raised a lot of great questions. We'll get you written answers, and I'm pleased that you flagged the issue of whether we could partner with the port, because they have vehicles, and that's a question we're gonna pursue to see whether, if we have enough capacity, we can actually bring them in as a partner and sell them the natural gas.
And I want to make it very clear, I'm also talking about airplanes, and that's the highest dollar amount per se, especially if you can send it to China. Thank you.
We'll take a look at
that. Okay.
Thank you. Good morning.
My name is Nancy.
The button, I'm sorry, on the front there. Lightning, can you help with the button, please? Thanks. Sorry, they're new.
Yeah. My name is Nancy Newell. I've worked on these issues for years. I raised it here, and Eric Sten was one of the commissioners. Susan Anderson was a visionary, has done tremendous research. You have a real honorable citizen in this, and I'm so glad she's still here. And the main reason I'm here is I'm concerned about whether the bank held the interest on some kind of loan for this project to go forward. And if it did, I think we should get that interest back and give it back to the taxpayers, because they're supporting Standing Rock. If it's the same banks that are supporting Standing Rock, let's make a real point to them that their policies are detrimental and we don't want them to profit in excess like they have in the past. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Matthew Denton. I live in the Portsmouth neighborhood, and I serve on the Citizen Advisory Committee for the Columbia Boulevard Wastewater Treatment Plant. I'm speaking in favor of the project to produce renewable natural gas, to get renewable natural gas into the Northwest Natural Gas system, and to build a renewable natural gas fueling station. Back in 1905, there was the first transcontinental automobile race from New York to Portland. These were the first motorized vehicles to travel the Oregon Trail. The winner completed the race in 44 days, arriving just in time for the Lewis and Clark Exposition. The cars ran on gasoline, but gas stations didn't exist. The main use of gasoline back in those days was dry cleaning, so the cars would stop at drug stores and buy dry cleaning supplies. Over time, more cars were made and gas stations came into existence, but the trip was only possible because you could buy gasoline. People buy gasoline-powered cars today because gasoline is readily available. Yes, you can buy an electric car, but people worry about where they'll charge it. Even though we have made huge improvements in the electric vehicle charging infrastructure, it doesn't compare to over a century of gasoline. This is a chicken or the egg problem. People don't want to install more charging stations unless there are more cars to use them, and people don't want to buy electric cars until there are more charging stations. Natural gas fueling in the city is much like electric car charging was 10 years ago. It barely exists. You can't walk into a car dealership and buy a natural gas car. You have to convert it. The conversion isn't difficult, but with very few fueling stations, very few people do that. Compared to gasoline and diesel, natural gas is cleaner in almost every regard. Less CO2 and no particulates, which is good for the planet and good for the people that live nearby. The natural gas from the sewage treatment plant is a renewable fuel that comes from decomposing sewage. Currently, the treatment plant burns some of that fuel in an engine to make electricity, and while we could use that to power electric vehicles, it's far more efficient to burn the gas in the vehicles directly. First, we have to solve the chicken and the egg problem of fueling stations and vehicles. Portland has the opportunity to be on the leading edge by running city vehicles on natural gas. We don't have to wait for the rest of the country. We are big enough to build our own fueling stations and convert vehicles, and because most of our vehicles stay inside city limits, we won't have to worry about other natural gas stations. This project is great for the city's long-term goals of getting more renewables, but this project also fits in the goals of the Citizen Advisory Committee. The CAC was originally formed because the sewage treatment plant smelled bad. Prior to the 1980s, the sewage treatment plant had no odor control facilities at all, and longtime CAC members recall trucks of damp sewage coming from the Tyrum Creek plant or leaving the plant head in eastern Oregon with uncovered decomposing sewage that you could smell all the way across North Portland. Thanks to a lot of work by the plant, things are much better. So now the biggest air quality complaint is diesel exhaust. By getting city vehicles converted to using renewable natural gas, we can make positive steps towards cleaner air. But first, Portland needs to be a leader and build a renewable natural gas fueling station. Thank you.
Thank you for your service on the CAC and for your testimony.
Thank you.
The last person who signed up is Star Stoffer.
Morning.
Good morning. Isn't it nice to have our building back?
Yes,
it is.
It is.
Well, you all know who I am. I'm Star Stoffer. I have a few concerns about Northwest Natural Gas. First of all, where is the emergency plan, and who's checked it in regards to the safety of this facility should there be an explosion or a leak, considering not far down the street is an entire community of marginalized community members, and then there's the river right there, and of course that is a high traffic area. My other concern with Northwest Natural is not extremely related to this project, but considering it's going to affect the community members that have to pay for Northwest Natural Gas, I need to bring it up. They have almost no programs for people who have trouble paying their bill. And while I have their attention here, you guys need to do something about that. I can't tell you how many people this winter that I know went without heat because Northwest Natural shut them off for being past due and would not work with them. And it was extremely cold outside. So if we're going to be building a new facility and we think it can pay for itself in, 4 years, I don't know, my math isn't the best if you look back at my transcripts, but it seems to me that what you're saying is that this is going to be an extremely profitable facility. But for who? The white leaders of Northwest Natural Gas or the actual community that it's being built in? Because you're not going to sit here and profit off this community and then not work with them to keep their heat on. That's not going to work. I'll just fill the place up with protesters and shut it down day after day if that's how it's going to be. But they need to work with the community instead of just shutting off their gas. These people need to have heat. In this last winter, with people dying of exposure, it's extremely crucial that they come up with some type of program and some kind of outreach to get to these community members who have trouble paying their bills. Shutting them off is not acceptable, and it should never be an answer. Shame on Northwest Natural.
Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, Charles Bridge Crane Johnson. And
Bridge Crane.
Thank you. I'm a little concerned that each of these items, the three items, when we talk about, well, first let's look at the language. When we look at the first item, the $9 million, and it says, at the end of each of these budget items, it says, the last line is, oh, it's not on the last line of the other one, but 370, yada, yada, at perfectly even $9 million. So that's kind of a suspicious estimated $9 million. I guess that's close enough. But then when we go down to 371, which is a fueling station, the gentleman that's on the Columbia Wastewater Board just talked about a fueling station. So perhaps there'll be a provision for privately operated natural gas vehicles to be fueled there. That's almost another $2 million, $1.9 million. And then, but that's a, those first two things are real capital expenditures that have actual costs. The next thing is an agreement. And admittedly, there will be a disbursement by the city, but an agreement cost is different than a capital cost. It's just like, you know, sometimes cities pay huge millions of dollars in agreement to build a stadium. They're not really worried about the cost. They just make agreements. So when we look in to the only five pages on these items, we see that the estimated cost recovery is somewhere between 3 to 8 years. That's really not a very impressive fiduciary assessment. An impressive fiduciary assessment would be selling, I don't even remember the units, I don't know if they're selling these in therms or what they're going to be sold in, but it's disappointing as citizens, even though we have the Citizens Utility Board, which is generally credible, that there's no real document saying we expect to sell X volume of gas at X price, and that's why we have this huge 100% window. It might be 3 years we recover it. It might be 8 years. I don't really think that you've that type of brief summary here serves the citizens, and there's no pointer to who's got the actual data so that other outsiders can make a judgment of, are these reasonably adjusted, or is this really just a boondoggle? The city's getting a neat green thing. Direct cash is going to, on the first item, we're going to award a contract for the building, correct? So none of these payments, which of these three items pays directly to Northwest Natural?
I don't know, but the proceeds come back to ratepayers.
If there are proceeds that, once the proceeds exceed, and that'd be interesting for you to inform the people, is like, the proceeds, eventually, if this remains a continually profitable project, but why is the initial outlay from the city? That's not the way we're taught. This is a glorified capitalism society. This was such a great deal. Why is it Northwest Natural, who's going to go to a more expensive office building, able to foot this up themselves and give us revenue in the first year?
Thank you. Appreciate
it. We should shut them down.
All right, and we'll have to do them separately. Is there any further council discussion or questions? With that, Carla, we'll vote on these independently, please. Item 370 first, please call the roll.
Fish?
Well, Mayor, I'll give my closing remarks on this one, and they'll apply to each of the items before us. In the 4 years that I've had the honor of leading the Bureau of Environmental Services, I've learned a lot. And one of the most important lessons I've learned is that what's good for the environment is frequently good for our ratepayers. This project is a triple win for Portland. We'll be eliminating 21,000 tons of greenhouse gas emissions every year. We'll be reducing our reliance on dirty diesel, and we will be earning millions of dollars for our ratepayers. There are a lot of people I need to thank that brought us to this day. I want to thank Director Michael Jordan and his team at the Bureau of Environmental Services. And I particularly want to call out the two people at the staff level who embody the meaning of perseverance. This project, we could spend all day talking about all the hurdles that we had to overcome, legal, regulatory, practical, financial, but Paul Sudo and Vu Han have worked tirelessly to get this right. They don't usually get the kind of attention and gratitude they deserve. So I want to thank both of them for their exemplary public service. I want to thank Susan Anderson and the team at the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. For as long as I've been on this council, Susan has been the quarterback guiding this council on our ambitious climate action plan and on all of the sustainability programs of this city, which have generated just not national but international attention. Thank you, Susan, to you and your team for being just key partners in doing this. I want to thank my colleague and friend Dan Saltzman. An odd feature of our form of government is that good ideas usually start here, but they usually are brought to fruition under a commissioner that wasn't there at the first meeting or wasn't there with the original idea. And so it takes a team. I remember when we did the big pipe, I think it was Earl Blumenauer that was sort of at the beginning of that process, but it was Dan Saltzman that brought it home. So, Dan, thank you for the work that you've done to make this day possible. Mayor, I want to also thank you. And the other day, you and Susan set a very high bar for our city to get to 100% renewable energy. And today, the Bureau of Environmental Services is making a big statement about doing our part to help you get to that audacious goal. I want to thank our partners at Northwest Natural, not just for this venture, because it took a lot of work to get through all the regulatory stuff and all the legal and practical challenges. But we've been very conservative, correctly so, I think, about what we think is the return on this project. But as you listen to the PowerPoint, the upside on this is astonishing. And I think the insurance policy we have is whatever goes on in D.C., it's likely that the Cascadia region will continue to be leaders in creating markets for our product. So we've put a threshold here of a fairly modest number of $3 million, but it could be substantially more if we continue to have this robust market for this product. So thank you, Northwest Natural, and thank you, the President, for joining us, not just on this, but for your partnership on Superfund, which is going to be crucial to making progress on cleaning up the harbor. I want to thank everyone who took time to testify today. And I particularly want to thank the Citizens Utility Board of Oregon. People need to know that CUB is a residential ratepayer advocate, and they represent residential ratepayers statewide against private utilities. We are the first city in Oregon where the CUB has served as a ratepayer advocate for residential ratepayers in the context of a public utility. And because of Janice and the expertise that CUB brings to the table, we've been able to save ratepayers a lot of money. So we are very grateful for that relationship. Thanks to the CAC and our friend from North Portland for being here. We made a lot of progress since the days people complained about the odor. And we're going to even do better on the odor by not flaring any of that methane gas. I want to thank my colleagues for the support they've given the public utilities over the years. A number of years ago, we were in a situation where the public wasn't so clear about our direction or about our discipline and how we spent their dollars. I think that narrative has changed dramatically, and I thank the council for the support they've given over these past 4 years. This Earth Day, the environmental movement is facing unprecedented challenges on a national level. But whatever may be happening in Washington, D.C., today the city of Portland is making very clear that we will continue to lead by example on clean air, clean water, and clean energy. It is a proud day for the Bureau of Environmental Services. And finally, the guy on my team who does all the work and gets none of the glory is Jamie Dunphy. And I want to thank Jamie for his great service as well. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, congratulations, Commissioner. Congratulations, Commissioner Fish, Bureau of Environmental Services, Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, Northwest Natural. This is a great accomplishment. As Commissioner Fish alluded to, I was the commissioner in charge of BES in 2008 when we got the cogeneration capacity going, but I was always frustrated by that remaining 23% that were just of wasted methane that's just flaring. And indeed, worldwide, you see methane flaring all over the place, landfills, oil pipelines, everywhere, and we are wasting a tremendous amount of untapped energy. So I'm really proud that we are today taking the steps to capture all that methane and to put it to good productive use, whether it's fueling vehicles, generating electricity, selling it to Malarkey Roofing. Let's not forget them. They're a good industry here in Portland as well. And I also wanted to just recognize Dave Tews, who was mentioned earlier, with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. He is the go-to person over the years for making renewable energy projects pencil and understanding all the complicated things like Schedule H, whatever that is, but there's all these schedules and tariffs and things like that. It's a very complicated world. So I'm really happy that you've managed to work this all out and that this will be a reality. So thank you all. Aye.
You, Daly?
I'd just like to quickly thank Mike and Susan and Commissioner Fish and Commissioner Saltzman and everyone who's worked so hard on this for many years. As a resident of a neighborhood in Northeast Portland with high levels of air pollution, I thank you. As the mother of a child with asthma and someone who has been recently diagnosed with asthma myself, I want to thank you. And as a very disappointed resident of the state of Oregon, in our legislature for dropping the ball on dirty diesel, I want to thank you. And I also really appreciate the buy local aspect, which hadn't really occurred to me until today. So very happy to support this. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Saltzman and Commissioner Fish. This is a wonderful project. I've been happy to vote for it every time components of it have come to council. Looking forward to seeing the money returned to the ratepayers, and just fabulous project. Thank you. Thanks to all the staff. I was particularly happy to see that there was already a citizen advisory committee established for the treatment plant. And also join in the thanks for the Citizen Utility Board and the Portland Utility Board. So this process has certainly had robust community involvement, and I appreciate that. Aye.
Wheeler.
So I want to add my thanks to Commissioner Fish for bringing it home, Commissioner Saltzman for starting this process. Without your leadership, this would not have happened. And in many communities around the country, it wouldn't even have been started. And Commissioner Fish, I just want to say personally, I admire the work and the partnerships that you've created to help bring this to fruition. I want to thank all of the appropriate acronyms from the various bureaus to the CUB, to the CAC. This was very much a community-engaged process. I wish Jim hadn't left as early as he did. He came up and he was feeling a little depressed during communications and said he couldn't think of anything that the Portland City Council had done that was positive. And I've been sort of mulling over that comment ever since, and it occurred to me virtually every vote we take here is controversial. We're goring somebody's ox, no matter what we do or how good our intentions are, how much of the homework we have completed. And this is one of those rare circumstances where I think, Commissioner Fish, the community has come together, worked really hard over a period of many years to bring this home. So the promise is good. As we were admonished during public testimony, there's a wide range of potential outcomes here, at least on the fiscal part of this. So I am going into this with my usual sense of reserve, but the main thing for me here isn't actually the financials. Even if it's the worst case scenario, the 8-year payoff, or let's say it's 10-year payoff, I still think it is imperative, as Commissioner Udaly just said, that we move forward on our carbon reduction goals. And I share her concern that the state is not taking dirty diesel nearly as seriously as the state should take it. It should be a top climate priority for the state of Oregon. And I think it's important that we keep pushing them from the local level to do the right thing. So thank you to all of you who made this a reality. Commissioner Fish in particular, I vote aye. And the ordinance is adopted. And now I assume we'll go to 371 and 372 relatively quickly.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. Ordinance 371 is passed. Next item, please.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. Item 371.